Speaking of throwing out things that feel wrong, it feels pretty wrong when you're like trying to figure out what to do with these holiday cards people with kids send you. And you're just like, thank you for this postcard into garbage can.
Of course.
Like, I, yeah.
Well, it's
like,
highly questionable where we find that Pablo Torre is a monster and threw your child dressed for the holidays into the trash. Also, Dom Foxworth is here. I'm Katie Nolan. Let's hit it.
They're very cute. And in my garbage can.
Will the Nets be a failure if they don't win the title this year?
Wow. Sounds aggressive, but this question, of course, is being asked because yesterday the Houston Rockets did what we all expected them to do, got rid of James Harden, but maybe not to who we thought they were going to, which was the Brooklyn Nets, who gave up 3 unprotected firsts, 4 unprotected swaps, and 3 rotation players to now have KD, Harden, and Kyrie. Question mark? Because the big story before this happened yesterday was like, what's up with Kyrie? Somebody on these very airwaves said Kyrie should maybe walk away from basketball. So a lot of people are calling this a new big three. I'll call it like a 2.5 until we see at least what is going on in that situation. But to come back to the question, I would say, yes, you could argue they absolutely have to do this right now because all 3 of these guys are 2.5, whatever I just said, could be unrestricted free agents the season after next, which means that if you aren't winning, do you really trust that KD, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving are going to be not who they've always told us they are and just stick around and hope that maybe you'll pull the wins off? It could happen. People do change, but I wouldn't count on it. They're going to have to win right away.
Yeah, this is the type of reductive question that I would usually immediately dismiss because I'm a big, you know, process over results guy. However, it is very clear that the Brooklyn Nets think this question is very valid. In fact, they thought this question was valid before they made this deal. You don't get KD and Kyrie Irving if you don't think that right now the present is when your window is most open. And it's not just the Nets who feel this way, and this informs why they made this deal as well. The Lakers feel this way about themselves. The Clippers feel this way about themselves. The Bucks feel this way about themselves. And I know that because they basically all did a version of this trade for their own teams. They said, the future is something that you guys and the next generation are going to have to deal with. Right now, we're going all in on these fossil fuels. Maybe the planet burns down, but that's not for us to deal with. We're going to have to win right now. Let's all get in this giant Hummer with all our superstars together.
I come to sports to get away from those sorts of things. How dare you bring global warming into my sports
Iceberg.
Coverage? But anyway, I mean, I think I enjoy and appreciate process over results, as you said, Pablo. It's a great thing. Until you think about the end of the day, you need some results to justify your process. So I agree with you. When the time for results come, the time is now when you have guys who can be free agents, like Katie said, in a couple of seasons. So process, process, process. It seems to me that there was no process. The process was get all the best basketball players that we can at one place, give them a basketball, hire Steve Nash, and shrug your shoulders and cross your fingers. I suspect that, yes, if they don't win a championship this year or next, this would have been a huge failure, and none of those guys are going to re-sign and come back to be at the media epicenter losing with all the people around them, giving them a hard time every week. We know that none of the 3 of them particularly enjoy the criticism. Not that anyone enjoys it, but they react to it more aggressively than most NBA superstars do.
But it's maybe already happening because KD, not KD, although KD may also feel this way. The KDs have questions about where Kyrie is. Like, this is an active topic of real speculation in the league. People who know Kyrie Irving that I've been hearing from, they don't know what's
Scoops.
Up. And yes, that was me being
sources
several degrees
say.
Away from an actual primary source.
Sources
but nonetheless,
say,
sources
or,
close
sources
to sources.
Sources are alleged to have said to other sources who then texted me.
Fractional sources raised to the highest level of my scrutiny.
They've
absolutely
already turned the show
can validate.
Off,
no one has any idea what's happening. No one has any idea what's happening with Kyrie. And to Dominique's point, like, he may be out on all of this. And so the reason the Nets made this deal is because maybe the Nets are wondering, like, hey, is Kyrie Irving, like, is he Dennis Rodman? Is he Maya Moore? Is he a combination of those 2 things? I don't think they know. And so the reason you go get James Harden is because maybe your second superstar maybe just won't be around that long.
Yeah, a lot of people thought this was them answering the question, like, is it better to go with two stars or three? And it's like, this may have actually been answering the question, do we have two stars for the rest of the season?
How should Pablo's precious Ben Simmons feel today?
Oh, well, as somebody who has never met Ben Simmons, I'm not sure I'm qualified to tell him how to feel, but the show's not called Highly Reasonable. So I feel like if you're Ben Simmons, the reason this question's being asked is because Daryl Morey came in and now we know tried to trade him off of the Sixers. I believe I saw it in The Athletic that the report says that Ben Simmons feels fine as someone who's been in a relationship of any type before. I can tell you that that's not usually a good indication that someone's actually fine. So to me, I don't know how Ben Simmons feels or should feel. What I do know is that Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers even need to go communicate with him. It's a step that some people forget. You can ask people what they are feeling. You don't have to guess or tell them what they should feel. You can go ask Ben Simmons how that made him feel yesterday and work to gain his trust back, which I think is something Daryl Morey needs to do because he just said he wasn't going to do this, and now we know he did this. So it's a thing that can be cleared up easily with communication, which sounds hard and scary, but I promise only good things will come of it. Go ask him how he feels.
I mean, he's not going to tell them the truth, and they are either going to lie to him or tell him the truth. The problem is, if they lie to him, he knows it's a lie. If they tell him the truth, it crushes his feelings. Like, I thought I was a superstar you were building around. Nah, that dude's better. So you pointed to relationship experience, whether it's romantic or otherwise, nobody wants to be traded. And as someone who has dealt with trade rumors and then ended up getting traded, it absolutely sucks. I really wish we could introduce this dynamic into everyone else's lives, because generally we treat this like these people aren't human and we just talk about it like it's no big deal. You signed up for it, you got lots of money, it doesn't matter. To go back to the relationship analogy, it doesn't matter if you have 10 years of a great relationship. If you see some text messages where someone is contemplating a trade, it hurts. So I'm sure it hurts for Ben Simmons how he deals with it. If he internalizes it and uses it as some sort of fuel, as we say lots of great athletes do, then go for it. If he internalizes it and he uses it to kind of, and it drags him down, then this was a wasted opportunity that they've ruined by trying to make a man move that didn't want to move.
Hold on, hold on. You guys are being very holier than thou with your relationship advice. And I say that because all of us, deep down, we know if we're in a committed relationship, there is still the list. You know the list. The freebie list. The list of exceptions that you're granted.
The laminated
list. What celebrity are you allowed to, you know, be with that your partner understands? Because guess what? If George Clooney's walking down the street, you kind of get it. That's what this is. Daryl Morey's list has one name on it. That name is James Harden, the George Clooney of his heart. And if you're Ben Simmons, who I obviously adore more than anybody else on this network, by the way, I think you understand that. Clooney's Clooney. That's his guy. It's one and done. That's all it is. But everybody's Katie. Entitled to have a list. That's his guy. That's Katie. His list.
You think he knows this is on TV?
I do. Which side of me are you on? What's happening?
I've got this down. I've been practicing.
What's happening? Whoa. I do think if anyone out there is going through like a breakup or a situation in which they were cheated on and they don't have to explain that to anybody else, I do recommend you use Dumbs. Just say it was trade rumors. What? Why'd you guys break up? Trade rumors.
Hey, Dominique, weren't you traded for a conditional 7th round pick?
Okay, we don't have to. Dom, I'm sorry about him. Let me tell him what to say.
The thing is, he thinks it hurts my feelings, but it doesn't, because I got traded for a conditional 7th round pick, and he read it in the newspaper.
I've never been traded for anything. Professionally.
Up next on HQ.
You can't yell at like 10 of them. The rest of them get yelled at and taken just fine.
Are you sure about that, Dominique? You sure about that? It's totally fine.
Know.
Is that how you yell?
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Marvel Studios' new original series, WandaVision, streaming Friday only on Disney+. Do you think Urban Meyer will fix the Jaguars?
Personally, no. But this is a very interesting question because depending on who you ask, they either think it is an impossible job to fail at or an impossible job to succeed at. Reasons that it would be impossible to fail: the Jaguars have 4 picks in the top 45. There's Trevor Lawrence coming in. That's probably potentially coming to you. Tons of cap space and a lot of young guys with star potential. How could you not turn that into wins? But people who say it's going to be impossible for Urban Meyer to succeed in this situation know that over the last decade, besides one fluke season, this team has kind of continued to make the same mistakes and fail at such a big level that it would be very hard for one person to come in and fix that. And also, draft picks and potential talent only matters if you know how to use it. And so the question it's going to come down to is, can Urban Meyer come in, gain the trust of his players? I think it's likely he'll be able to succeed in the very short term, but long term is where you may potentially run into a problem, which the Jaguars have done long term. So it seems like they should consider somebody who can plan for the long term so that eventually their wins are the long term.
Right. Urban Meyer's track record does not suggest that long term is anything. He did 2 years at Bowling Green, 2 years at Utah, 6 at Florida, 7 at Ohio State. But he also won 3 national championships at the latter two. So it's worth the risk. And I think Katie brings up an excellent point. Yes, they have lots of cap space. Yes, they have lots of draft picks. What about Urban Meyer suggests that he knows how to use those things properly? In college, you know what he does? He recruits, and he gets all the first-round draft picks, and then the best ones start and play. But I do think that at least for free agency, most of the time in free agency in football, it's about who's going to pay you the most money. They do have somewhat of a leg up being in Florida because you get no state tax. And they also have a leg up because Urban Meyer knows half of the NFL because they went to Ohio State. So I think he is in good shape to potentially pull this off. But the question is, how big is his ego? How much of the control of the front office does he need? I think that's what slows down a lot of really powerful and smart coaches.
Yes, the idea that they are at, like, is it second base in this relationship now? I'm not sure the level of intimacy.
Stick to sports.
I'm still trying to get those metaphors down. But the Urban Meyer thing is fascinating to me because primarily of the word ego. And Dominique alluded to it, but, like, this was a guy who micromanages everything, which is what you can do when every college program and the city surrounding it is your fiefdom. That was the case at Florida. And by the way, what happened at Florida? A lot of stuff in the locker room that was kind of on the news blotters. That was a bigger problem as time went on, we realized. Also at Ohio State, kind of something happened with Zach Smith that we still don't totally know what happened, but it doesn't look good for Urban Meyer, Mr. Micromanager. And on top of all of the ego stuff is health, which intersects with ego, because the other reason Urban Meyer keeps moving on from all these places is because he has this arachnoid cyst, which is a serious thing that flares up in his brain because he is so intense about coaching football, to the point where his family routinely and ritualistically almost begs him to please stop coaching football, except he never stops coaching football until he does, and then he gets right back into coaching football. So I just wonder that guy I described, who also loves yelling at people, Dominique. Like, he's a big yeller on a sideline. That's the guy who's trying to bond with grown men for the first time in that professional context. I would have doubts just on those levels.
I don't think that's going to be the problem. He'll learn how to not yell. He'll learn how to ask for things. He'll learn, and to be honest, you can yell at most of the players on the team, honestly, no matter how much money they make or how old they are. You can't yell at like 10 of them. The rest of them get yelled at and taken just fine.
Are you sure about that, Dominique? You sure about that? It's totally fine.
Know.
Is that how you yell?
Is that
you yelling?
Oh, that was the bit you were doing.
I thought you were talking loud.
Yeah.
That's how you yell? You're screwed when that kid is old enough to talk back.
No.
Do you question if Cam Jordan should have just let this one go?
Okay, so Cam Jordan was on a show called NFL Game Day Final, not to be confused with NFL Game Day or NFL, but he was asked by Steve Smith how they've been able to beat the Bucs and Tom Brady twice this season. Here's what he had to say.
What are you guys being fed up there to be able to shut down the GOAT Tom Brady like that twice?
Well, you say GOAT, like one of the GOATs. He's probably number 2 on the list. Behind, you know, the quarterback who has 80,000 passing yards. But, I mean, there's probably another quarterback like there. It's not.
Well, I don't even know if a point was made. Did I miss it? Did he say
who's... Drew Brees. He just said Drew Brees, his guy. He just teaming up with his guy. I'm more interested in the competing patterns. We got Buffalo plaid versus houndstooth. Like,
can we pull that back up with the herringbone?
But Dominique, it's not merely the competing plaids. It is Steve Smith matching his plaid with the underside of his hat.
Let me see
lower undercarriage of your hat color blocking is something I did not know about until this clip.
Have you guys ever seen Boomerang? It's a question that I feel like I need to ask in this group. The movie Boomerang, have either of you ever seen it?
I thought you meant the app that makes your pictures do this.
No, the movie Boomerang.
I obviously have, but also no follow-up questions.
No.
You got to coordinate. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. I've seen that as a meme.
I hate you.
Do you question whether this high five was worthy of this feat?
Okay, producers say we don't need any context here. We're just going out to a man attempting to break a world record. And if he's wearing a blindfold and stacking donuts, I'm going to be very upset.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh. Is it fruit? Is he a fruit ninja?
Yeah, this is real life fruit ninja, apparently.
What? But why would the fruit ninja be throwing the other knife? Whoa. That was a peach. Are they peaches or apples?
It is. Come on.
Oh. Missed. After all that precision, all that aim, all that attention to detail, they missed on the high five.
Like, you'd figure that guy in specific, if anybody had like a multi-step handshake, it would be him. But no, he totally just disappointed the child who also did not care at all in the background watching.
Does only one person's name go into the world record book? Because I feel like the tosser deserves a lot of credit. Like, there's a lot of precision on that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. And then the second thing is, why? Like, if you were not athletic or talented enough to be good at some other physical sport that people actually care about, why make one where you're just standing in your front yard trying to kill yourself and others? Why?
Yeah, why would anybody spend their time breaking a totally made-up world record that has been lost already to the sands of time? Why would anybody devote their time to doing that, let alone celebrating that?
I have an answer. To promote a TV show.
Go look it
up. Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Him? I don't know. Is he selling sheets? What's he trying to do?
Yeah, what is the backdrop for? Are we to not think he's in a yard of a house? Like, I could see it.
No. Dominique solved it. This is viral sponsored marketing for the sheet.
On YouTube, I Am Athlete.
Oh, so I Am Athlete, I just found out, is Brandon Marshall's podcast. It's proof that there's too many podcasts because I love Brandon Marshall and I had no idea. But recently he had Ocho Cinco on and was asking him about his diet while he played. Here's that clip.
I played 13 years. Do you understand my numbers?
I played 11.
Listen, let me tell you about science.
Tell me about science.
I had MCLs.
Why'd you get hurt?
I had high ankle sprain. High ankle sprain since 6 weeks. Back the next week and scored 3 touchdowns.
I never got hurt.
It don't matter.
Never.
I can't control if a dude hit me in my ankle. You was lucky.
What do you mean?
You was one of the ones that got
I got hit in the head every game.
If you're running across the middle of the field and somebody takes your knee.
That happened all the time.
And somebody take your knee.
It happened all the time. You know why? You know I was able? You know why?
Why?
Because I ate at McDonald's and I built a callus in my body.
Let's end this conversation.
Look at
I'm
this.
Done. Touch I'm this. Done. I'm done.
Hey, if you he's really serious.
He's really
dead serious.
He's really passionate about this.
Listen, you ate all that healthy and then when happened to you when you were trying to bang your body could take
it. Yes, it did. What are you talking about?
You got hurt because it hit you in your ankle. I did.
This is the best clip I've ever seen. That is an incredible clip of him saying that you ate such dumb food, such dainty vegetable food, you loser.
Weakened your constitution.
Your body could not
calluses.
Handle. He just was like, somebody touched your ankle and you couldn't play anymore, loser. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because I think that is the room that I would be the least equipped to say a single word in. Like, there was so much shouting there that, yeah, I'm intrigued aspirationally.
But if we're talking about eating McDonald's making you stronger, that's the only room I'm qualified to participate in and happy to do so. Dom, are you intrigued?
Love sweet and sour sauce.
I'm absolutely intrigued. Brandon Marshall's podcast has put out quite a few great clips. I love it. B. Marsh is like 6'4", 230 pounds. The idea that he could get hurt in any way, to me, one makes me wonder why anyone would ever play football. It's a really violent and dumb game. And I agree with Chad Johnson. I mean, I made the mistake of, like, not drinking. I didn't smoke. I ate healthy my whole career. And you know how many Pro Bowls I went to? Zero.
Ooh.
I should have drank and ate McDonald's.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Pablo Torre, Dominique Foxworth, you want more of them, you can reach them at, let me get their numbers. Hold on.